Hello. Welcome to our program on careers. I'm a volunteer reader for Sun Sounds, Irene Lubin. I'd like to begin today's program with an article which appeared in the June 30th issue of the Wall Street Journal. Younger workers redefine meaning of career success. Flashy titles and salaries are no longer the gold standard for defining achievement. This article was written for the journal by Claire Ansbury. Younger adults today are redefining success and shifting their focus from wealth to health. It's not that young people do not care about money anymore, but they don't necessarily care about getting rich or status either. While in college, Cole Smith, 27 years of age, aspired to be someone at the top of the data analytics field, even if it meant working 80 hours a week. Now he's not so sure it's worth it. I worried at that time about being 40 or 50 and not having any interest outside of work, says Smith, who, with his older brother, co-founded Visor, an online car shopping site. Smith, who loves to run and spend time with his fiancée, says his priorities have shifted and success is about having more holistic life. Wealth, status, and occupation are no longer the gold standard when it comes to defining success for adults who have yet to reach middle age. Instead, young Americans today rank physical and mental health as the top measure of success. Wealth came in fifth, according to a recent survey of adults aged 18 to 34. This represents a generational shift, says Marcy Merriman, who is Managing Director of Global Cultural Insights at Ernst & Young, who co-wrote a study about adulthood. Those surveyed for the survey grew up with the internet and social media and have more access to information and lifestyles than previous generations did. They scroll through feeds, listen to podcasts, and they watch videos to see how other people are succeeding or failing before they reach middle age, typically defined as ages 40 to 60. Lessons learned. Giving priority to physical and mental health reflects what they have learned and experienced. COVID reminded millennials and Gen Z adults of the fleeting nature of good health and spurred a work-from-home movement. This opened their eyes to other, less stressful options for them and measures of success, says Zach Dichtwald, who is 35 and who researches global generational shifts and cross-geography collaboration and is co-author of the study. This particular age group of younger American adults is also watching parents and grandparents age and deal with chronic illnesses, often tied to poor diet and physical inactivity. Health is a success in and of itself, says Dichtwald, who says that there are still plenty of people his age who want to be at the top of law firms and investment banks and see that as success. Some people found status and wealth early on in their careers, but not satisfaction or joy. When she was in her early 20s, Natalie Armendariz researched high-paying jobs such as anesthesiologist, but she followed her desire to work in the creative field instead, landing an internship at an advertising agency. Her goal, creative director. She and her now husband have InDesign moved to New York, where she followed industry advice of shifting from one agency to another and getting promotions. Longer hours and salary increases came with each. She had high-profile clients, which made her feel that she was a success, but the achievement felt hollow to her. She was exhausted. There was no time to enjoy anything. It was work, 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 she says. Finally, the couple returned to their Texas roots and started Funsize, a small digital design agency with 19 employees. They now have a six-year-old and close their agency for a week every quarter to regroup and reset. Success is quieter. It's not flashy titles and salaries, says Armendariz, who is 40 now. It's how I feel about the things I'm doing, how much time I have to spend with my family. Homeward Bound. Defining success often involves asking and answering tough questions. Rachel Beck thought success meant getting married and leaving her hometown of Dubois, Indiana, population 400, which she did in her 20s. She and her then-husband moved to New York City, where she worked in public schools as an educator and counselor. When her marriage ended, Beck bought an apartment in Manhattan, the epitome of success in her eyes, and started traveling the world running marathons. And then the pandemic hit. Her friends moved. Her position was eliminated. An injury ended her marathons. I thought, so why am I still here? Returning home, she realized, would feel and look like failure. But when her parents began having health problems, she knew it was more important to be with them. My definition of success slowly changed, says Beck, now 45. It's more personal, she says, and less about others' expectations and meeting traditional milestones such as getting married and having children. She deals blackjack at a resort, and she works part-time at a local distillery run by a young distiller passionate about his craft. She started a podcast called The Feisty Heroine for women who are happily single. She has connected with women around the world and is traveling to Albania this fall to visit one of them. Beck is glad she made the move. Her hometown, while lovely and peaceful, is quite small and homogeneous. She misses New York's food scene. She still has her Manhattan apartment, which she rents out. A big advantage that millennials and Gen Z adults have in being socially connected and informed is that they draw lessons from older adults at an earlier stage. Social media has transmitted life lessons that boomers learned at the end of their careers about what matters, says Dichtwald. Warren Deveranis, who is 37, remembers watching an online interview with a CEO who said success is when your children want to spend time with you when they're adults. The message struck the young father of three, sales account executive, and co-founder of Dad Good, a private community for dads, who had expected the CEO to talk about lofty sales and earnings. But instead of being monetarily rich, which he once desired, Deveranis wants to be a good dad and have enough money to feel secure and take his family to the beach for a week. For him, physical and mental health comes first among five measures of success, followed by relationships with spouse, relationship with family, and personal growth. Wealth comes last, but will naturally follow, he believes. And even if it doesn't, he says, it still sounds like a pretty fulfilling life to me. The next article that I would like to read for you is from the New York Times, the 4th of July. This article was written for the Times by Sydney Ember, and the title is U.S. Added 147,000 Jobs Last Month. American employers continued hiring at a steady clip in June, brushing aside concerns about the economy to notch another month of solid job creation. Payrolls grew by 147,000, the Labor Department reported, and the unemployment rate fell slightly to 4.1%. The healthy hiring reaffirmed that the economy was maintaining momentum despite economic headwinds, including President Trump's unpredictable tariff policies, global conflict, an immigration crackdown, and high interest rates. Businesses are pretty much business as usual, said Beth Ann Bovino, the chief economist at U.S. Bank. They may not be expanding, she added, but they still have to keep the doors open day to day, and that means they've got to have their workers in place. Reaffirming the labor market's durability, job gains in April and May were revised upward by a collective 16,000. But there were also some signs of strain in the labor market. Companies in the private sector largely appear to be in a holding pattern given economic uncertainty stemming from Washington. Many industries continue to add jobs, but at a very low level, suggesting that they have mostly postponed any hiring plans. And although job creation exceeded expectations for the month, much of the hiring was concentrated in the same handful of industries, healthcare, leisure and hospitality, and government, that have been propping up the economy for months now. Those sectors combined accounted for about 90% of the total net job gains. The labor force also shrank as the pool of workers seeking employment dropped. The number of people who have been out of a job for more than 6 months rose, suggesting it is now taking longer for those seeking work to find it. Very clearly, the labor market is resilient, said Corey Estali, who is economist at the Indeed Hiring Lab. But I think that it's maybe less sturdy than it appears to be. Still, the report reinforced the Federal Reserve's wait-and-see approach to cutting interest rates despite a prolonged pressure campaign from Mr. Trump. On Wednesday, the president continued his attacks on Jerome Powell, chair of the Fed, calling on him to resign immediately. The White House praised the new jobs numbers after they were released. The economy is now becoming again, Caroline Leavitt, the White House press secretary, said in a statement, predicting it will only get better now once the president's domestic policy package is finalized. Stock investors welcomed further signs that the economy is proving resilient to the administration's policies. The Standard & Poor's 500 rose 0.8% on Thursday, raising further into record territory. The solid labor market data also takes the pressure of the Fed to cut rates soon, with expectations for the next Fed rate cut being pushed out from September to October now. Government bond yields, which reflect the path of interest rates, rose. An open question now, though, is how much longer the labor market can hold on. Economists anticipate now that Mr. Trump's policies will begin to have a more meaningful effect on businesses in the coming months as the tariffs hit their bottom lines and immigration slows. High interest rates and cost increases resulting from Trump's trade war are weighing on companies as well as consumers who are now being stretched thin. When adjusted for inflation, personal spending fell 0.3% in May. Some corners of the economy already are feeling the effects. Federal government employment, which has been in Mr. Trump's crosshairs, dropped in June by 7,000 jobs and is down 69,000 for the year now, even as state and local governments have added their jobs. Manufacturing, which has been buffeted by the trade war, also shed 7,000 jobs last month. The Purchasing Managers Index for manufacturers indicated that many are now focusing on managing headcount rather than on hiring. That is the case for Tom Schroeder, who is the president of PBC Linear, a manufacturer in Roscoe, Illinois, that produces ball bearings, steel shafts, and other products. The uncertainty surrounding tariffs has made customers less likely to make large, long-term purchases until they have more clarity, he said. Instead, they are buying products only when they need them, making it more difficult for him to plan ahead. That, in turn, has affected his company's hiring. When the business does hire, it is mainly to replace employees who are leaving the company or retiring. The first half of the year started off a lot slower than we expected it to, he said. So we're just kind of holding steady now until there's more certainty out there. Most forecasters expect hiring to decrease further in the second half of the year, particularly as lower immigration diminishes the ranks of available workers. In the meantime, some employers appear to be pulling back in more subtle ways. Layoffs remain low, but the number of hires fell in May. The average work week ticked down by 1/10 of an hour to 34.2 hours in June, a sign that employers are cutting workers' hours and reducing their take-home pay. Wages continue to grow, but at a slightly slower pace, rising 0.2% in June and 3.7% compared with the same time last year. Jobs in temporary help services, which tend to fall during tenuous economic times, also fell marginally. Generally speaking, we are experiencing a slowdown in the labor market, said Gregory Daco, chief economist at the consulting firm EY Parthenon. We're not witnessing any form of severe retrenchment where companies would be laying off massively, but we are seeing reduced labor demand. Debbie Rodriguez, founder and chief executive of Competitive Edge Partners and Consulting, a subcontractor based in the Orlando, Florida area, is navigating a number of the challenges filtering through the economy. The construction industry is heavily dependent on immigrants, and she has noticed that more workers are not showing up to jobs amid a growing fear of immigration raids. Because of elevated interest rates that have made companies more reluctant to spend, she worries now that there are not enough large commercial jobs in her area for her employees. We're always going to live in a world where we have work, but the problem is, do we have enough work for everyone in it, she said. To adjust, she has trimmed the workforce at the staffing company she operates, Quality Labor Management, which she draws on for a construction job. She has gone from having about 350 workers, including painters, electricians, and mechanics, to just over 200. I do not feel that we've grown at all in 2025, she said. I feel like we've actually just hit a wall. The next article that I would like to read for you today is from the Wall Street Journal, the 5th of May. This article's title is AI is Helping Job Seekers Explore and Find New Careers. New tools give users insight on how skills in one field can transfer to another field. This article was written for the journal by Lindsay Ellis. Finding the job hunt challenging? AI might give you some ideas for pivoting to a completely different field. Career change isn't easy even in strong hiring markets. Candidates need to convince companies that their accomplishments in one field can apply to another, and that betting on someone without exact experience in a role is going to pay off. Increasingly, artificial intelligence tools created by companies including Salesforce, Google, and LinkedIn are helping workers sell their skills, tailor their resumes to new areas, and identify under-the-radar roles. Other job hunters are using artificial intelligence prompts to turn widely available chatbots into career coaches. Brooke Grant has been wanting a new role inside of Salesforce when she heard of the company's new AI tool, Career Connect. It analyzes employees' skills and recommends roles internally that they might not have otherwise considered, as well as training programs to help them qualify for those positions. Grant, who studied communications and organizational psychology, had worked for a decade in a position called change management, helping colleagues to adapt to new operational processes. She uploaded her resume into Career Connect, and the artificial intelligence tool visualized different paths forward for her. One was her own manager's role, showing her what the natural progression would be. One was a role in AI strategy, drawing from her experience with AI at a former company, and one was a sales enablement job, making sure that teams have the right tools to close deals and coaching them on techniques and the product. The AI tool identified her overlapping skills for this job. Though she had no sales experience, she contacted the hiring manager while asking AI for guidance on how to pitch herself. "I would have never even applied for the role if it didn't give me the confidence," she says. And she got the job and started in March with a slight raise. Artificial intelligence tools are opening up potential new jobs that workers might not have otherwise even considered, companies say. In some cases, the technology uses natural language processing to understand what users want and compare it with potential opportunities. Google and LinkedIn have also created products for external users. LinkedIn is releasing to premium subscribers a tool called NextRoll Explorer, allowing them to look at jobs inside and outside their current companies, as well as online learning classes to help them land those jobs. At Google, Career Dreamer uses artificial intelligence and labor market data to serve up career possibilities to potential job switchers. The company released the tool after searches for how to change jobs hit a record level last year. Google says the free tool has had hundreds of thousands of U.S. users since it launched in February. The tool does not save users' entries on their servers, only in web browsers, but it does use Google Analytics to track overall activity on the program, the company says. For a user who said she was an accountant at a Big Four firm and noted skills in problem solving, auditing, and financial reporting, Career Dreamer advised considering roles as a management consultant or regulatory affairs specialist. The program suggested a middle school teacher consider working as a corporate trainer. Most people either aren't conscious of the skills that they do have from the jobs they've done, or they don't know how to talk about it, says Lisa Gevelber, who is founder of Grow with Google, an education initiative that launched the Career Dreamer program. At this moment, employers often prefer turnkey candidates vetted by their experiences, campus career officers and recruiters say. In a hiring hesitant market, you're going to go with the least risky candidates, says Stephanie Rameau, who is a former senior vice president of growth for Torchlight Hire, a recruiting and staffing firm. Companies looking to hire might have 200 to 500 candidates and will rank them using applicant tracking systems that parse resumes for the most relevant experiences. Rano says she has held free career calls with job seekers whose fields are not hiring right now and recommends that they use AI as an early step. They can upload their resumes to free artificial intelligence tools such as ChatGPT with a detailed prompt and what they are looking for and their current hiring landscape, she says. Then they can ask the program for a list of businesses, family foundations, or nonprofits that value their experiences or have hired people with those skills. You can get all of these ideas. You can get excited, Rano says. Many early career professionals enroll in MBA programs to pivot into a new field. Harvard Business School this semester tested an AI tool for students and alumni that compares job seekers' resumes with their preferred roles and recommends online classes to bridge skills gaps. Using natural language processing, it also shows users job opportunities out there that could work for them, as well as alumni who work there to contact. Rachel Fogelman, who is in the MBA program at the Kelley School of Business at Indiana University in Indianapolis, tried using artificial intelligence for career input on her field of public health. She spent about 10 hours over several days' time drafting and redrafting ChatGPT prompts that job seekers in the sector could use. She put the prompts that got the best results on her LinkedIn page. Her first, "You are a career coach assisting a recently laid off profession who is pivoting from governmental public health employment to a private sector job. Create a list of equivalent private sector job titles." Users should risk the technology, she wrote, for three potential directly equivalent roles, three potentially adjacent roles, and three broader private sector roles with transferable skills, as well as multiple companies hiring for each job title and a specified location. Fogelman says she does not expect ChatGPT to replace an actual career coach, but it is helpful in translating specialized skills to other industries, especially for people who cannot afford a profession. So, apparently, with some questionable press out there, artificial intelligence is helping job seekers explore and find new careers these days. This is all we have time for on our program on careers for today. I hope that you've enjoyed listening in and will enjoy the rest of your day. And thank you for listening in. I'm Irene Lubin, a volunteer reader, and you're listening to Sun Sounds of Arizona.